Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, bless and shape the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we know that our Redeemer liveth, and strengthened in hope, we may act in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. My sermon is entitled Vindication. And before we have a sense of righteous retribution, let me speak how we are vindicated and how love is vindicated on this day. I read from the book of Job, and Job is one of those brilliant books of the Bible, and really one of the greatest books in all of literature that is often referenced but seldom read. People have made proverbial that little phrase, the patience of Job. Oh, if I only had the patience of Job. And we see even in the book of, or the letter of James in the New Testament, when it speaks of patience in the midst of suffering, it casts one's eye toward the patient endurance of Job. And yet, if you actually read the book, you'll discover that Job is not at all a patient guy. He chafes under his suffering. He and his friends, and there is an artistic rendering of Job and his three so-called friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they live in a moral landscape of righteousness, of just retribution. If you are a righteous person, you will receive rewards. If you are a sinful person, you will be likewise punished. And therefore, operating out of that moral landscape, the three friends of Job, seeing him suffer as he does, logically conclude that he has sinned. He has done something wrong to deserve this, and so they patiently go through all the possibilities of what he's done wrong. Job, occupying the same moral landscape, but knowing in his heart, as far as he can consider or conceive, that he has not done wrong, recognizes that something else is wrong, that an injustice is going on, and he rails against that injustice. He pushes back against the words of his friends, and ultimately pushes back even against God. And God, why have you done this? His wife, and you can see her in the shadow on the left side of that picture with her head bowed, she tells him to curse God and die. Job doesn't go that far. He never abandons his relationship with God, but he wonders why this has happened to him. Job is an incredibly profound study of why do the innocent suffer? What is happening in this life where too many suffer, even when we are not innocent? Why is there so much pain in our world? We come this day to remember many who suffered, not only those who gave their lives in the service of country, in the service of freedom, those who were caught in the crossfire, the children and the non-combatants who suffered and died. We can join with Job in pushing back and being angry. The passage I read is pushback. It's saying, look, I don't care. You may accuse me of doing something wrong, but I know that my Redeemer, my Vindicator, liveth, and at the last will stand upon this earth. And even when my skin has been eaten by worms, I will see my Redeemer in the flesh, and I will be vindicated. Justice will reign. Now, the author of Job brilliantly declares that maybe this landscape is not one of retributive justice. Maybe in this world, the innocent do suffer unjustly and unfairly, and that this is not God's desire or will. The question is left open in the end of Job. But when this passage, and it is one of the great passages from Messiah, comes to us through the pen of Charles Jennens and the music of George Frederick Handel, it is given to us as they have been given to see this declaration in the light of the later coming of Jesus Christ, of the innocent who suffered and gave himself for us all, not because God permits suffering or allows suffering, but because God endures suffering for the sake of love. Not because evil is necessary or suffering is necessary as some kind of pedagogical or learning tool, but because though evil is never explained, it is opposed. And in the life and love of God, we see that evil shall not reign. And love and life are vindicated. For we know that our Redeemer lives. Vindication. For now has Christ risen. So what do we do in the light of our vindication? There's a very poignant image in the Globe and Mail yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. This is the watch of Howie Gould. Howie was a young bomber pilot whose plane went down in 1943 at 8:30. And this watch stopped, his watch stopped at 8:29 on that night. A year after the war ended, somehow that watch made its way back to Merrifield, Saskatchewan, to his parents, battered and broken, stopped at that exact hour. And in some ways, this day seems to recognize that time stopped for some. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Time shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we shall remember them. This is Menin Gate. Jean Train, who placed our wreath today, placed a wreath at Menin Gate this past year. Within the walls of Menin Gate are inscribed the names of 54,000 Allied soldiers who marched through that gate never to march back again. We do not have a known grave. On the Vimy Memorial are marked the names of over 11,000 Canadians who do not have a known grave. This Remembrance Day, though, does not mark the end of their lives. In Glasgow this summer, in July, at the 100th anniversary of the Battle of the Somme, Esther and I were walking through the streets of Glasgow when we saw a large number of young men walking along the streets, and I looked twice, and I immediately recognized, having some sense of history, that they were in First World War battle dress. And I said to Esther, let's follow them. And we did, to the Gallery of Modern Art in Glasgow. And I walked up to one of these young soldiers and I asked him, are you commemorating the Battle of the Somme? And he said nothing, but he pulled out a card and handed it to me. And it had the name of a 21-year-old man who died on that day in 1916. He did not speak, for that young man had his voice taken from him that day. But we are not left not to speak. We are not left as if time has stopped on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. We are called, like Job, in the light of our vindication, in the light of our living Redeemer, to chafe impatiently against the injustice and suffering of our world. It's a wonderful film that has just opened, and I haven't seen the film. It's called Hacksaw Ridge. But I have researched the story of the man about whom that film was done. And this is Desmond Doss. Desmond was a conscientious objector. He was a man of deep faith. He was a Seventh-day Adventist who took seriously his understanding that Jesus Christ called him to a life of peace. And he would not lift up a gun against anyone. But he also could not stand by while others went to fight for him, while others took up arms against the tyranny that he knew was unjust. So he chafed impatiently against the suffering of the world, and he chose to go into service his country as a medic. The film is about his time on Okinawa, and it is an incredible true story. Thank you. He saved 75 men going back and forth under fire. His troops had withdrawn, but he did not. He carried each one to safety, and as the film portrays, he had to lower them down, each one of them, down a cliff, where they were received by other medics and taken to hospital, and then he went to get another wounded man. Later, when he himself was wounded and being carried out on a litter, he saw a man more severely wounded than he was, and he rolled off his litter and went to pull him and insisted that they take him away first. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor, the first person who never carried a gun to be so honored by his country. It is a marvelous testimony to what one can do when one chafes against suffering. When one considers seriously that their Redeemer, their Vindicator, lives and has affirmed the value of love and the service of life and reconciliation, and so in that truth that has changed the moral landscape of our lives and world, he lives into the future. For he knew, and we know, that in our flesh we shall see God, who is on our side, our Redeemer, liveth. Amen.